Thank you for coming to Easter today. For those of you that haven't met me yet, my name is Jude Waldron, and it might be your first time meeting me, and I'm the pastor at Armidale Baptist, and I'm filling in for David Wanstall for the next 3 months or so while he's on long service leave here at Encounter. And I wish you all happy Easter. The traditional way of me doing this is to say, Christ is risen, and you say... Some of you know. Excellent. He is risen indeed. So let's try that. Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed.
Fantastic. Thank you. Just a quick fun fact to get to, as a get to know you thing for me, so you get to know me a bit. As a kid, my favourite board game was Mousetrap. I used to love sitting there and watching, looking at the mousetrap parts and putting them all together. And I just loved it. It's basically a sequence that goes on. And I didn't care if I was playing with others or just by myself putting it all together. It was really fun. There was a crank and there was a stop sign. Do you guys remember this? So a crank and a stop sign, and there's a bucket, and there's like, you know, steps that go down, and it all kind of happens. There's this boot that kicks the bucket that makes the ball go down, and all this sort of rickety thing, until eventually there was like a man in a swimming suit on a diving board, and, you know, ended up diving into this thing, and eventually the mousetrap would come down. It was fantastic. I always held my breath just as I turned that crank in suspense. When's the moment that it's going to set everything in motion? I was always excited to see it all just jump into life. Hold that image in your head, and it might be relevant later on. Last Sunday, Andrew Hill preached about, we started a series together on twos. Through the next month, we're going to have these stories of Easter that have two things. He spoke of two cups, the cup of destiny and the cup of humility in Gethsemane. And today, we're reading Matthew's account of the resurrection. And Matthew loves placing events and people and objects in twos. He's a twinsies gospel, yeah? In the other gospels, Jesus rides into town on a donkey. That's not enough for Matthew. He has two donkeys. In Mark, there's a blind man in Bethsaida who calls out to the Son of David and says, please heal me. That's not enough for Matthew. He has two blind men in Bethsaida calling out Son of David. Matthew likes to tell stories in twos. And the remarkable thing he has in his account of the death and resurrection of Jesus is these earthquakes. He has two earthquakes. Did you pick that up? Two earthquakes. There's, firstly, the one we all think about, the amazing earthquake, when the angel comes to the tomb as the ground shakes and the tomb breaks open and the Roman guards become catatonic on the ground, and the women are there, but they manage to keep their feet. That's interesting too, isn't it? And then Jesus is there alive. Today is a day for us to just sit in awe with that. We need to sit in awe with that. It should shake us like an earthquake. God's power in Jesus. God's approval of Jesus. God in Jesus raised this human, broken, bruised, tortured body to a whole new, powerful life. Jesus deserves all our praise and all our honour and all our worship. This is beyond miraculous. Nothing can beat him. Nothing can contain him. Nothing can hold him down. There is a life force in Jesus that overcomes all of the physical, emotional, and mental torture that death that all the world can throw at him. Praise God? Yes. Praise God. So we have an earthquake and a resurrection in Matthew 28 that fills us with awe and fills us with joy. Jesus is with us forever. Jesus cannot be stopped. Jesus lives forever and will always have the power over any force, earthly or spiritual. That's one earthquake. But here's the curious bit. Matthew tells us a story of another earthquake. When Jesus dies, he gives up his spirit and the whole earth shakes. We'll read verse 51 again. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. What on earth? That is so weird. Matthew hasn't just given us two earthquakes, he's given us two resurrections. He's given us two resurrections. People are jumping out of graves and they're walking all over the city. He did a spoiler on his own story and got people raised to life before the big punchline of Jesus being raised to life. Is he a terrible storyteller? No. No, he's not. He's trying to tell us something amazing. Jesus' death was the death of death. He took death to the cross with him, absorbed it in himself, and it died when he died. It died with him. The death of the Son of God on the cross was an earth-shattering, cosmos-tilting moment that shifted our destiny forever. Do you know Jesus wasn't the only person in the Bible to be resurrected? You do know that, yeah. Most of us might have heard the story of Lazarus. Yep. Lazarus, the most famous one, but there's also the widow's son that was being carried on the stretcher in the funeral procession, and Jesus stopped them and raised him to life. Even in the Old Testament, people came to life. Elisha raised a young child. So Jesus was not the only one to be resurrected. That's not the thing that is very amazing about him necessarily. Matthew's showing us in his storytelling that Jesus was a new first. Jesus was a new first. He was a precedent for a completely different order. It used to be that you're born and you live and you die and that's it. But now Jesus' death and resurrection puts into motion a whole new sequence. You're born, you live, you die, and you have a new resurrected life. It's like the mousetrap game. It's like the mousetrap game that I loved as a kid. Jesus' death was turning the crank until a whole new life was triggered for everyone. For me and for you, we also get resurrected. We get new life after death. And we get new life now. We don't need to be afraid of death, even the small deaths that we have along the way. The disappointments, the failures, the mistakes, the endings, the stops. Those things happen, and they're painful and they're tragic. Jesus knows all about that. He experienced them too. But what is more tragic is not realizing that from death comes resurrection. I once heard that for Christians who are meant to believe in resurrection, they're terribly scared of death. And for Christians who are meant to believe in forgiveness, are terribly scared of failure. There is new life, and we can start living that new life now. On Good Friday, we may say, please take my sinful ways. But then what do you do? What happens when the sin is put to death and you're left with a void? Time for a new life, time for a new way. Maybe being afraid of death is not a problem for you. Matthew tells us that there were people who were afraid of life, people who were afraid of new life. The chief priests and the Pharisees can predict the next chapter in the story, new life, or at least the story of a new life. And they seek to secure the tomb by sealing it and by posting a guard. No resurrection here. Mm-mm-mm. This is not going to happen. No way. Not on my watch. We've looked at two earthquakes. We've looked at two resurrections, I want to give you two responses that are pretty disastrous. They're the worst things that you can do with this invitation to new life. The first one is denial. The religious authorities did everything they could to plausibly deny that Jesus had risen from the dead. They literally shut down everything that they could. I wonder if there's a big blockage over your heart, a big shutdown of your soul that says, never going to happen. No way. Never going to let this new life out. Everything is going to stay exactly where it is. We're not going to move. It's not going to change. It's not going to breathe. It's not going to explore. No, I'm shutting it all down. There's no new life here. No breath, no birth, no movement, nothing. God is not doing anything here. I'm not doing anything here either. Denial. Of course, when shutting things down didn't work, because it didn't, the chief priests and the Pharisees had another tactic, which was misinformation and rationalisation. Okay, there's no body, but that's because the disciples took it. Yeah? That's a lot more reasonable than the idea of someone actually coming alive, isn't it? So that makes more sense, but it's not true. And so often we take good news and wonder and awe and hope and we play it down and we explain it away and we say, oh, it's not really like that though, is it? We see someone who has resolved or received new life and they're all enthusiastic about it and we want them to tone it down into something more sophisticated. Something we can understand, something that we can rationalise. But God's resurrection life busts through in amazing and awe-inspiring ways. Who are we to explain away God? And do we really want to miss out on what God has for us? Do we really want to give up the chance for new ways of being, for new starts, for new life? The chief priests and the Pharisees are seeking what is safe and what is controlled and what is known. They did what they could to make sure that God would not rock their world. But God did it anyway. God did it anyway. Are you worried that God's resurrection power could rock your life? Did you know that you can't stop God doing that? Don't shut it down. Don't shut it down. Don't reduce it by rationalizations. Here's what Jesus said to do with the resurrection. Tell people. Show people. He tells the women to get going. Go back to the other disciples and tell them. Don't hang around. Don't take your time. Go quickly. Get onto it. It's great news. It's an amazing invitation. Jesus invites you into new life, and this whole world is in a new era where anything is possible, even the death of death and the birth of a new quality of life. If God's resurrection is doing something new, tell someone. If you're learning something new, say something. If you're trying something new, show someone. If you're receiving something new, let people know. Share that. Your new thing could be the next bit in that mousetrap chain reaction that invites people into a new life that Jesus offers. Two earthquakes. The cosmos is completely shaken and death is broken. Two resurrections. The power of Jesus Christ, Son of God, who cannot be held down by death. And the precedent that means that for all of us, we will rise and can live a resurrection life. Two disastrous responses. Denial and rationalization. As you go from here, today. What is your good news? What is your good news? What does the resurrection life look like in you? And are you ready to celebrate it? Let's have a moment of reflection now and see what God is stirring in you. What is new for you today? What have you enjoyed the most today? What are you going to do differently because of today? What do you want to say to God today? Jesus Christ, Son of God, we honor you. We are in awe of you. We hear this story. Fill us with that wonder. For some of us, we've heard this year after year. Remind us again of your power. Help us to step into new life. Help us to embrace that gospel that says we always get another go and we can do it differently. For those of us that are tired, rejuvenate us. For those of us that are bound up in cynicism, free us. For those of us who are scared of what you might do, reassure us. May we be as open as that tomb, open to new life. Amen.